Well, I've got my Bible open here to the fourth chapter of John. And would you please look at that with me? You know, in the past times whenever I've had the opportunity to bring a meditation here, I'm thinking, well, what can I consider together that really has to do with prayer or encourages us to pray or gives us some fuller understanding of revival. And today I really want to focus on the idea of revival and the reality of it, actually, as Jesus taught in John chapter 4. Here in this one single episode of him and his disciples traveling through Samaria, he gives three lessons that he uses to contrast God's kingdom and the way that things work there with him and the Spirit over against our norm, the way things work in our normal world. I like to think of it as there's normal. And then there's revival. And he uses three illustrations in this chapter to communicate these lessons to his disciples. So the illustrations center around drink, food, and work. And these are three things that all of us share in common. We all know about these things. So let's see what we can learn from the Lord in John chapter 4. We're not going to be able to talk about every word and every verse here, obviously, maybe just the story as a whole. And I assume that this is a very familiar chapter to people already. But it begins when Jesus and his disciples leave Judea and travel north toward Galilee again. And we read at the beginning of chapter 4 that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to. King James says he must needs go through Samaria. I love that. And he comes to this town called Sychar, and it's near to the plot of ground where Jacob's well was. So there's a lot of history here, right? Thousands of years of history. Jacob's well was there, and tired as he was from the journey, Jesus sat down from the well. Just picture this now. Maybe imagine that you're one of the disciples. Jesus is tired. We read that it's the middle of the day. So it's noon hot. Jesus has been traveling. He's probably hungry. He's probably thirsty. And indeed, his disciples head off into the town to buy food. And there he meets this woman. The woman is thirsty. She keeps coming to this well to draw water. I mean, that's how you satisfy normal thirst, right? But all the while, her soul has this insatiable spiritual thirst that so far no one has been able to touch. And then this conversation ensues between her and the Lord. And he says to her, "Woman, if you knew who I am, if you knew who you're speaking to, you would ask me, and I'd give you living water. And you drink this water and you'll never thirst." And of course, this woman doesn't get it. She doesn't get it. She says, "Oh, really? Living water? Give me this water so that I don't have to keep coming back to the well," right? Because she's thinking normal. Experience normal water. But Jesus explains to her, no, I'm not talking about the water in down there. I'm talking about a living water that if you drink, it will become in you its own spring of water and it wells up to eternal life." So the picture is that it begins to gush and overflow this self-multiplying spirit-led superabundance. And how do we know what this water is? Jesus teaches later on in John chapter 7 at the feast, he offers the water again to people. Come drink of this water. And John tells us explicitly there, by this water, he meant the Holy Spirit. So this is a lesson to the woman in the water. Woman, there's normal. You know all about normal. Normal doesn't work for you. That's why you're here again in the middle of the day. There's normal, and then there's spirit life from Christ. There's revival. And I wonder if we are too used to the normal, or if by God's movement in us, he's causing us to thirst for the spiritual, for revival. Then, just then, the disciples come back and the woman runs off to the town to tell everyone who she's met. And the disciples come back. They have no idea what's been going on. And it's almost comical, this scene. I imagine it a lot, right? They had gone off to buy food to fulfill their hunger. Remember, Jesus was tired, he was hungry. So they went off to buy some groceries. Of course, why not, right? That's how you satisfy hunger. And then they come up to him and they say, Rabbi, eat. They're urging him to eat. And then he gives this reply to the disciples, just like he did to the woman concerning her thirst. He replies to the disciples, if you knew the Father's empowerment and commission, oh, you'd be able to feast on this food that would leave you to never hunger again. He says, I have food to eat that you know nothing of. And of course, just like the woman, the disciples don't get it. They look at each other and like, how could he have food? Could someone have brought him food while we were gone? They're probably looking around, wondering where this food could have come from. But of course, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about full submission to the Father's will, doing every work he gives your hands to do, and doing it in his leading and his empowerment. That strengthens and sustains you in ways you don't even understand yet. That's food that you know not of. And this is counterintuitive. It is to me anyway, right? Giving up my will, giving up my plan in exchange for the work package that the Father gives to me. I mean, I go, who wants to give up that kind of autonomy, that kind of choice? That's not my normal idea of sustenance. If I do that, I feel in a weaker position. Jesus says, no, if you do that, you're in a stronger position. Because there's normal, and then there's revival. And then he feeds this straight into the third illustration, work, because he said, my food is to do the work that the Father's given me to do. And he tells them in agricultural terms how it happens in the course of natural farming versus how it happens in his kingdom. He says, do you not say 4 more months and then the harvest? See, the sowing season in that area of the world for like wheat and barley was around November. And then the fields of Israel would be full of sowers, right? People putting the seed. And when their work is done, you could see they'd stand up, straighten their backs, and sort of dust off their hands and say to each other, well, 4 more months and then the harvest, like see you again in 4 months. And then round about March, April, like Passover time, the fields would once again be full of workers, but this time not sowers, but reapers. And Jesus says, that's normal, right? Don't you guys say that at planting season? 4 more months and then the harvest? But he says, while you guys were off buying food to satiate your hunger, I was sowing seed. I was sowing seed that you don't even understand, because I was talking to a woman that you would not have even countenanced to engage because of cultural norms. She was a Samaritan woman, and she had a bucket. And Jews don't drink from the same bucket as Samaritans. But unbeknownst to you, I was sowing seed in her heart. And then he says, now look up, lift up your heads, look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. And I imagine at that point, the woman and all her friends from the town are returning to the well to meet Jesus. Lift up your heads, look at the fields. And today, disciples, today you're going to see something that shatters your norm. Not 4 more months until the harvest. Today, the sower and the reaper are going to rejoice together in the same field. Barely has the seed dropped into the soil that the harvest springs up and it's ready for you to reap. Here they come. Here come the Samaritans. And we read, of course, that day many Samaritans from Sychar believed because of the woman's testimony. This man told me everything I ever did. And that same day, Christ was the sower of one seed. And then he and his disciples on the same day reaped a bumper crop. And as he said, today the sower and the reaper shall rejoice together. I think Jesus's emphatic point here in these lessons was that the kingdom of God doesn't advance according to the patterns of our natural experience. There's normal, and then there's revival. So I want to just take this all and lead us to the throne. That's the only point of the meditations that I want, not education and new ideas, but just something to lead us now to the throne as we pray. Maybe we can ask the Lord, open our eyes to look at the fields that are ripe for harvest. Don't leave us settle for our normal, for the 4 more months and then the harvest, like this normal pace of church work and evangelism that is good and necessary, but maybe it's not all that Jesus says is possible in his economy, in his kingdom. Maybe we can come to the throne and ask Jesus, please, would you empower our labor? Not that I labor away in the normal things I choose to do, but that my food becomes the work the Father gives me to do. And I'm praying that, of course, we would experience revival ourselves. We would come to a day when the sower and the reaper rejoice together in the field. So let's pray. Amen.